Colorado. Here we go. You ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. It's an injury show. We are injury attorneys. This is our podcast called Legal Injury Hub. We do another podcast called Legal Anatomy of Current Events, and you can listen to that as well. You can listen to this podcast and go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. I'll tell you what, on championsofthepeople.com, we have developed a series called Car Accidents 101, right? And it's right on our homepage. You can click on Car Accidents 101. You can go to part one. We are now on part two. And you can click on part one, and you can see at the end of part one, we have our radio show that covers the same subject for you. You can listen to that. We also have a podcast on for part one, and you can listen to that, right? And we got this podcast, and you can listen to the podcast on part one. Part one, by the way, was what do you do to protect yourself before an accident even happens? You say, wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't know you could do that. The insurance companies, listen, are already strategizing against you before an accident happens. You can do the same thing to protect yourself. Today we're talking about part two. Right? And we got other parts coming up in our Car Accident 101 series. We got parts coming up on, what to do in the first 2 days after an accident. What do you do when you talk to the insurance adjuster? We do all this to educate you because we educate and advocate, right? That's what we do at Bell & Pollock, and that's what we're doing right here. Today, we're talking about what do you do at the scene of a car crash. Think about that. It's traumatic. You know, you've just been hit. Maybe it was a T-bone. Maybe somebody ran a red light and hit you on the passenger side, or worse yet, on the driver's side. Boom! Your car rotates 180 degrees. It's now pointed in the wrong direction. There's other cars coming and going. You're confused. You're dazed. You're hurt. You feel pain. So, what do you do at the scene? This is what we're teaching you today, and you can find all this on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Because for our future parts of Car Accidents 101, for our future parts, we're going to have those on our website as well. And so you can go to part one, part two, et cetera, et cetera. You can listen to the radio show we did on KHOW on that subject. You can listen to this podcast, and you should, and you can read the checklist. You should do all three so that you're fully prepared and apprised and ready to go. So, yes, you're hurt at the scene. So, Brad, we've said for years, we say it again right here on this podcast, at the scene, the first thing you do is take care of yourself medically. You don't worry about anything else. You don't call a lawyer, as some television ads might imply. You don't do that. You take care of yourself medically. If you need help, you call 911 or somebody else calls 911 and they get the ambulance there. So, Brad, we've seen this before, but let's give everybody a little preview of what's coming down the line in some of our podcasts. Right, you're right there, and we're covering it right now, and you might say, geez, I don't want to go in an ambulance. It's too expensive. I don't have the money. I don't want to go to the emergency room. It's too expensive. I don't have the money. Well, listen, Brad, explain to them what MedPay on your own car insurance policy has, does, and provides for you in case you go in an ambulance.
Well, now, MedPay is something that's automatic on your policy. You get your insurance policy, there has to be MedPay on it. The only way you get rid of MedPay is if you sign it away. And I've said many times, I'm willing to bet that if I went down to the local saloon down the street and sat there and asked people, what's automatic on your car insurance policy, none of them could tell me. And then if I started saying, well, what's MedPay, none of them could tell me. And if I said, what's UIM, UM benefits, none of them could tell me. So the only way that people know to waive or reject those coverages is because they've had an agent or maybe some friend of an agent or some friend who just niftily saved $10 off their policy to get rid of these coverages, got rid of the coverages. Other than that, you should have this coverage. And this is important coverage because, whether you have health insurance or not, But believe me, you'll feel a lot better if you say, I've got MedPay, and I know it's going to pay the first $5,000 of coverage because that's automatic on my policy. And you're going to say, you're not going to be saying, well, if I reach my deductible, did I get all my copays taken care of? Do I have the money for my copays? You should have the coverage. And so that's the first thing, is you want to make sure you have that coverage. And assuming you do, then, you know, when you're in a crash, the important part of the crash is to make sure that everybody is getting appropriate medical care.
Including yourself. But I'm going to make a couple of clarifying points, Brad. When you have MedPay and you're at the scene of a crash and you're thinking, man, I don't want to go in the ambulance. I don't want to go to the emergency room. There are no copays. There's no deductibles off MedPay. They pay. That's why you want your MedPay as high as possible. They're going to pay the ambulance. They're going to pay the emergency room. Up to the $5,000, that's automatic. So don't think there's a deductible or a copay. But, Brad, so we're at the scene. We're teaching car accidents 101, part two. We're at the scene of a crash. You call 911, right?
Yeah. I can't think of a reason not to. You know, the whole idea is to call and get and make sure you're medically taken care of. Now, a bunch of you are going to say, what about a small fender bender that somebody barely taps me and barely causes any kind of injury or doesn't cause any kind of injury? Well, first of all, what amount of force is necessary to cause an injury to you is unknown. Biomechanical engineers like to get on witness stands on behalf of defense people and say, well, that's just not enough force to hurt you. Different forces hurt different people. Different amounts of forces hurt different amounts of people. The bottom line is if there's even a hint of injury, you should be calling 911. If there's no hint of injury, keep your phone on speed dial to 911, because let me tell you something, you don't know later on that night or the next day when that pain is going to surface and you're going to start having trouble. But believe me, you've got a chance it's going to, and you need to be able to make sure you get emergency services. Now, if you're at the scene of the crash and the people are hurt, you call 911 right away. You get emergency services out there.
Right, and so we're teaching you today what to do at the scene of the crash. We're on part two of Car Accidents 101. All you have to do is go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Click right on the homepage, Car Accidents 101. It takes you to all of our parts. Today we're on part two, what you do at the scene. And so the next part of what you do at the scene, and we're going to tell you what you never do. What you never do is let the other driver talk you out of calling 911. What you never do is let the other driver talk you out of calling the police. You never do that. I can't tell you, and Brad can sit right here and tell you, and I will sit right here and tell you, that we've heard so many times in our careers that, well, they said, well, it wasn't necessary to call the police. It was my fault. How many times have we heard that, Brad? It was my fault. I'm sorry. You don't need to call the police. I'll take responsibility. And then later, the insurance company and the driver and the lawyers for the driver that caused this accident don't take responsibility.
Oh, please don't call the police. If I get another ticket, I'm going to lose my license, and then I'll lose my job, and I won't be able to pay my bills, and I'm going to have all sorts of problems. I promise you I'll just have my insurance company take care of it. Just give me your name and number. I'll give you my name and number, and we can make sure it's all taken care of. And, of course, I'm the one that caused the crash. I'm the one that got out of my lane and sideswiped you and sent you off into the ditch. And it's all my fault. And I promise you, we'll take care of this. And then when you call them up or you call their insurance company up, their insurance company says, well, that policy lapsed for failure to make the payments. Or they look and they say, well, we just talked to that insured, and they said you caused a crash.
There you go. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. We've said, the insurance company says, we talked to our insured, that you now say, Mr. Victim, you now say our insured was the at-fault party, but he came up with a different story. He said you caused the accident. And therefore, there you are. No police, no 911 call. So, what do you do at the scene of the accident?
You've got no measurements. You've got no you've got no witnesses. You've got no photos. You've got nothing because they said they were going to take responsibility for causing this crash.
You got no police report. You got no police investigation. You got no citation being issued because the police were never called.
And they say, you know, funny thing, when he hit me, he didn't say he was hurt. And, you know, you're going, I said I was hurt, or I said, we won't do this. I'll let you off. Just give me your insurance. And they go, well, I don't remember any of that conversation.
No, we don't remember that conversation. Okay, we're talking about what to do at the scene. We're educating you. You can go to Car Accidents 101 on the homepage of our website, championsofthepeople.com. Just click on Car Accidents 101. All right, next, you take care of yourself medically, but if you're okay, and Brad's really got some great advice in this area, but take pictures. You got a phone. Guess what it has? What? A camera, right? It has a camera. Start taking pictures. You can take pictures of the other driver. You can take a video of the other driver. You can take pictures of the passengers. You can take pictures of the license plate, the car, the debris, the surrounding area. Twice in my career. You ready? Twice in my career, my client told me we got out of the car and they switched drivers. They switched drivers before the police got there and then lied to the police. Well, you can now just take pictures and videos, and you can get them changing and see who's behind the wheel. After you take care of yourself medically, Brad, but give us a little instruction on, because you're really good at this accident and reconstruction stuff when we get into it in our firm. Give us some education on how important the scene is, what's in the background. Maybe there's a 7-Eleven in the background. Maybe there's a convenience store. Maybe there's a Target. Maybe there's houses and a residential, whatever. It gives you a perspective of the whole scene.
Well, you do have a chance, depending on what's in the background. You do have a chance that video from some other location picked up the crash and saw the crash and could tell you what's happening. Of course, you want to know if you got a dash cam. You want to know if the other side has a dash cam, if anybody who stopped to help with the crash, if they had any dash cams. But you also, you know, there's not a 7-Eleven out there that I can think of. And most gas stations, self-serve especially, have cameras that pick up their immediate needs of seeing who's running off with their gas or who's stealing from them or what's going on. But they also pick up other things that are happening in the neighborhood. There's houses that have doorbells that can catch what's going on out on the street, or that have other kind of cameras to protect their house or to protect things that are left at their house. So you always want to try to find out if there's videos. And so sometimes it takes going back. I mean, we've gone back a number of times when there have been crashes and taken a look where apartment buildings, I mean, have had outside cameras who have picked up a crash that occurred or an event that occurred out on the street. And we've been able to determine what happened and who's responsible for what happened and how you go from there. You want to try to get your photos in a situation where when they go and look at the photos, they can place your car in the right spot and they can place the debris in the right spot on the street and get some idea of the distances that people traveled. If there's skid marks, you want to try and get pictures of that. You want to try to get an idea of how far the car traveled after it got hit, how much damage there is to the car. It's not just take the photos. It's take it in proper perspective of what's happening. Now, a lot of times you're going to be able to do this even if you're hurt because you have adrenaline pumping, and that adrenaline is causing you to do things and allowing you to get things done before the pain's going to set in.
Yeah, temporarily mask the pain.
That's right. And other times the pain's going to set in and you're not going to have a chance to do it, or you're going to be in such shock, or you're going to be hurt such that you can't do it. You know, I've often taken the position that just because somebody got out and took a bunch of photos doesn't mean they weren't also hurt. So you have to be paying attention to yourself first. And if you are hurt or when you start feeling the pain, decide if you needed an ambulance out there or how you're going to get your medical treatment. And, you know, you might not, or you might need the help of a police officer to tell you when you need help and when you don't need help.
I want to temporarily go back, Brad, to you. You said there's sometimes cameras. I mean, there's all kinds of cameras in downtown Denver. There's cameras in other cities. Okay. But we said never let them talk you out of calling the police. Well, we've had cases where they did. And we've had cases then where they say, well, that person didn't say that. Our insurer didn't say he was at fault. Our insurer denies that he was at fault at all. So here's a real-life example. Of course, we don't ever use names, but here we go. About 3:40 in the morning, dark, right? Up against, coming up, red light, green light situation. Our client says the other driver ran the red light, T-boned me and ran the red light. That driver talked him out of calling the police. So there's no police, there's no 911 call, there's nothing. Then the other driver says, I'm not at fault, you ran the red light. So now we got a situation where people are pointing fingers and running the red light. So we went to, it was a gas station on the corner, and asked the manager for the films, and guess what the manager said? We don't have any films. We have cameras, but they rewrite over and erase it, and that's gone. Fast forward a little bit, we issue a subpoena to that store. Guess what they had? Films. And at night, what do they put their cameras on? What do those filling gas stations want to do? They want to film their pumps in case anybody's stealing gas. So when you look to the film, which they said they didn't have, and we got under subpoena, and you look right between the two pumps, over to the intersection, and it's a little distance away, but you see it. And guess what? The person who now says and denies he ran a red light ran the biggest red light I've ever seen. Boom. That was a big case where somebody didn't do what we said. They didn't call the police. That was a big case, and we won that case based on that film, which they didn't have, but they really had. And we issued a subpoena. Then we got it. And the case resolved.
I don't think the red light's changed in size. He says,
it's a big red light.
He said it's the biggest red light you've ever seen.
It's the biggest red light I've ever seen.
I don't think they changed in size. Now, I may be wrong because I have not measured every red light in this city or in this state. But
on a more comical note, maybe my eyes were just getting big because we had no proof, and all of a sudden we've got the proof.
That probably is it, you know. And it might have been the reddest light you've ever seen.
It was the reddest. It was the biggest reddest light I've ever seen.
You know, but the bottom line is that you want to, if you've been in the crash and you're facing the immediate effects of that crash, you need to get your bearings. And if you don't have your bearings, call the police and call the ambulance right away. The one thing I'm telling you you don't need to do right away is call a lawyer.
Correct.
You know, and those ads that tell you call the lawyer at the scene of the crash, maybe. You know, I think I've seen a commercial out where some lawyer said, well, they called me at the scene of the crash, and I told them to do this and that, and by gosh, that saved the case. Well, maybe, you know, the one out of 1,000 times that you're risking the health and safety of other people, and I'm not so sure that you're accomplishing much by saying I'm going to call a personal injury lawyer. Now, do you need to call a personal injury lawyer within a few days? Or within maybe a few hours, depending on how many people are trying to interview you and what they're trying to get and what information they're trying to get? Yeah.
Of course.
Do you need to be able to consider who you want to call and what you want to do and how you want to handle your case? Yeah. But the immediate effect is get personnel out there who are going to take care of the physical needs of the people who have been in the crash, and the psychological and mental needs of the people who've been in the crash, and get the police out there to document the scene. And to the extent you or the police or anybody can get witnesses and get witness addresses and names, maybe not the whole statement. You might not get the whole statement right away, but if you can get addresses and names, that's going to be very important.
Yeah, you just talked about mental needs, Brad. You talked about physical needs. You talked about medical needs. How about legal needs? You got legal needs, and you get the police out there. So now we're talking to you. We're educating you what to do at the scene of a crash. You can listen to this at Car Accidents 101 on our homepage of our website, championsofthepeople.com. Just click on Car Accidents 101, and it takes you all the parts. We're talking about part two today, and we're going to have other parts in the future. We're going to take you through the whole series, step by step, of what you do in car accidents, because that's Car Accidents 101. Today you're listening to part two. You can go to our website, and if you look at it, we're going to have part two, a checklist for you. Read it. This podcast for you. Listen to it again. The radio show. What radio show? We do a live radio show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8, KHOW, 6:30 a.m. on the dial. 7 o'clock in the morning every Saturday. And we talk about these subjects. And then we post that radio show on part two. So for part two, you'll get the radio show, you get the podcast, and you get the checklist. Listen to them all, read them all, and you'll be way ahead of the game. And we got more parts coming up. One of our parts is going to be dealing with how you talk to an insurance adjuster. Do you really know that? You really know the answer to that? Probably not. But we're going to teach you. That's coming up. Today you're listening to part two. Okay, another thing that you do at the scene. We just told you, take pictures of the driver and the passengers. You don't ever understand how these stories can change. Who was there? Brad, next. You exchange insurance information. But this day and age, a lot of our clients come in and say, we say, did you get the other person's insurance information? And they say, yeah, I got it here right on my phone. I took a picture. I said, and one of our clients said, the person said, I'm leaving. No, you're not. You're going to give me your driver's license. I'm going to take a picture of you. I'm going to take a picture of your driver's license. And I'm going to take a picture of your insurance card right now. So get them out. And they didn't get to leave. And they didn't leave. And they got the critical information, but you must exchange insurance information. Do not just assume somebody says, well, I'm insured with XYZ insurance company. Just call them.
I can't even understand why you would do that. You know, the bottom line is that even if they say I don't have my insurance card with me, which I'm just about certain they're supposed to have one. You know, that's the way I remember it. And then, you know, we have some envelopes that we used to have people tell people to keep your insurance information. And
We still got them, Brad.
And so if anybody wants us to send you one, we can send it, because it also identifies what to do in the case of a crash.
Right.
It has about five little subparts to it, and it's not very big or burdensome, so it's something you can keep in your glove compartment, and I would really encourage parents to send off for it. If they don't want to keep it in their car, keep it in the car that their 18-year-old or 17-year-old or 16-year-old is going to be driving, because I promise you, your 16, 17, 18-year-old has the highest chance of getting into a crash, and they have the least knowledge of what to do if they get in one. Now, you know, they're now going through 4 or 5 days of classes, and they've got to have a year under their belt of driving under a learner's permit. And so you hope they're getting the idea. But, you know, it would be nice to give them to them. So just contact us, and we're happy to get them to you. And it'll be something that can be in the car, and they can look it open and open it up and see it and get an idea and make sure they have all the information. But if somebody's been in a crash, the first thing you're supposed to do is exchange information, take a picture of their driver's license, and then take a picture of their insurance.
And take a picture of them.
Then take a picture of them, and then take a picture of their license plate. You know, I've seen clients come in who said the person was going to drive off. Now the person says, "Oh, I was just pulling over to the side because I didn't want to block traffic." And you know, we'll never know for sure what they had in mind. But I'll tell you one thing: they knew to start taking pictures so that the person understood if they tried to drive off, there was at least going to be a license plate associated with that car, and they'd be tracked down. So. Important information to make sure you get that kind of information and you get the stuff that is necessary so you can recontact that person. And the best thing is, was the fact they put cameras on phones.
Cameras on phones. Everybody's got one.
We all have one. So
if you don't have one, get one. Okay, you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I'm Gary Bell along with Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We have offices in Denver and Steamboat Springs. You can call us in the mountains at 970-870-8989. That's 870-8989. Our telephone number otherwise is 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. We educate and advocate at Bell and Pollock. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, has 10 books on it, 10 different on different injury subjects, and you can get them for free. You can download an e-copy anytime at championsofthepeople.com. Okay, today, the last thing we're going to teach you, the last thing and maybe the most important, how many times have you heard, seen, known about a crash, and somebody says, well, let's get our cars out of traffic. Let's move over to over there to the parking lot, or let's go over there, or let's move it. How many times have you heard or seen in a snow day where they say the police are not coming? What do you do? If somebody says you're going to move the cars and they, and you have to move them because of traffic, okay, then take pictures of where the cars were in the original location. And as Brad says, this is his favorite subject. Get in the background, the perspective. If there's, you know, from this view, there's a store in the corner. From this view, there's a vacant lot over here. From this view, there's another different kind of store. Prove where the cars were. Prove by your pictures where the damage and debris are on the road and the damage to the cars and the vehicles. Prove it. Then you can move them if you have to. Don't try not to, but if you have to. And then, Brad, the same thing on snow days when they say there's no police coming. But there's an extra requirement on that. You have to file your own police report. You have to file your own crash report, your own accident report online by statute.
Anytime you're told the police aren't coming, then it becomes more important you take photos that put you in the proper perspective. You just plain have to do that. You get yourself in a big problem if you don't do it with a proper perspective, because the police aren't going to be there to verify where the cars were and what was going on. You're going to miss out on that. So you have to try and address that issue immediately. You can't have a problem with that. The next thing is that you when they say the police aren't coming, remember, that's usually in response to somebody calling and saying, there's been a crash over here at Alameda and Santa Fe, and the next words are, is anybody hurt? And they go, no, nobody's hurt. And they say, okay, well, the police aren't coming. File a counter report. You want to get on and file a counter report, but maybe you are hurt. And maybe you don't have immediate pain, but maybe you are hurt. And so you need to be careful when you tell the police. You need to make sure that the other side is, if they've said nobody's hurt, that you're identifying with your own call to the police that you are hurt. And if they say, well, does anybody need to go to the hospital? And you go, well, I don't think so. That's your best answer is I don't think so, because you don't know if you're going to be going to the hospital later that night or the next day. And then, you know, you need to make sure you have it documented even better.
If nothing else helps you, when you think about it, I got to take pictures, think about snap, snap, snap. Snap, picture, snap, picture, snap, picture. Right? Snap, another picture. Bingo, video. If you can do it, okay, do it, especially on snow days. You're going to take the pictures. Especially when the police are not coming, you're going to take the pictures. You're going to take the pictures anyway. We told you that. You're listening to Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell & Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We've been helping people with their injury cases for over 35 years in the state of Colorado. You can put our tremendous experience to work for you. Look, we've done lots of claims, lots of settlement of claims, all kinds of cases, big rig cases, bicycle accidents, motorcycles, pedestrians, hit and run, the cowards that they are, hit and run, right? No insurance, underinsured, uninsured. And I could go on and on and on. All kinds of traffic cases. All kinds of premises liability cases. We can help you. 303-795-5900. Look, just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's easy. You can't forget that. You couldn't forget that if you tried. championsofthepeople.com. Try to forget it. championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. You can download a free e-copy. If you want a hard copy, let us know. 303-795-5900. We have Car Accidents 101 on our homepage. Click right there. Just click it. It goes to part one, part two, and then coming up, we're going to have parts three, four, five, six, and we're going to continue until we've exhausted the subjects on car accidents, until we've taught you, until you're protected. Call us, Bell and Pollock. Get a hold of us, Bell and Pollock. ChampionsOfThePeople.com. We'll see you next week.